conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. This episode of Andy's Girls focuses on unpacking cyber attacks that were made this week against Garcelle Beauvais' young son, Jax. After recording this week's episode, Erica Jane and Diana Jenkins both responded on social to accusations and insinuations that they were involved in the hiring of bots. Erica Jane put out a statement on Instagram stories saying, "I did not hire bots to attack Jax, and my offer to apologize to him in person still stands. Sincerely, Erica." Diana Jenkins put out a statement saying, "I have been accused of instigating the hateful and inexcusable cyberbullying of Garcelle's son. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have stood for human rights my whole life. There is no place for hate in this world. To those people who have been attacking my family and threatening our lives, you are also spreading hate and creating fear. Please stop." This statement, of course, does not, unfortunately, mention or address why Diana remained silent for so long after the attack on Jax, while deleting swarms of comments asking her to speak out and disavow the attack, which was made in her name and coincided with her birthday. More on that in this episode. I'm an Aries.
I already like it.
And this ram isn't afraid to use her horns.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I didn't know where that was going.
I honestly, as a Jew who's experienced anti-Semitism, I was like, you know what? Let me just make sure to indicate the sign part of it because I've gotten so much. Let's go.
Oh my What's God, your that's deck? Amazing. What's okay. Unlike Diana, I've never proclaimed myself a humanitarian or activist, but I've also never funded a bot campaign against a child. So maybe I should start. Allegedly,
the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is burning down. And this episode is going to be a fucking shit show. I just want to say, before I introduce one of my literal favorite people and guests, that this came together with some spackle about 3 seconds ago. We're recording Friday at 7 a.m. Now, I know the clock is saying to me that it's actually 1:17 p.m. Eastern Standard, but I'm telling you, it is 7 in the fucking morning.
I feel like it too.
You ask any content creator who's been talking about what the fuck has been going on this week.
We're done.
We're over.
We have nothing left.
I got a comment on a post I put because my social in the last couple of days has been a little hot. And I got a comment from someone completely understandably asking, everything that's been going down is so confusing. Will you put up a highlights? And I was like, honestly, I would love to do that, but I would love for someone else to do that.
Yeah. No, I thought about doing a post where I recap it from beginning to end. Like I'm explaining it to my mother and I was like, I don't have it in me.
Well, great. Great to hear because we're about to do that on a podcast.
You know what? Talking about it is so much easier than like my little fingers making a post.
Yes. I literally just was like in order. I was like, dee, 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 and then sent you a shot of it and was like, what did I miss? And you said, we got it because each one is an essay. Mm. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 338. This is a special episode. A response is necessitated based on circumstances that have been going on online. Something you can listen to in an AG Patreon episode recorded earlier this week with Face Reality 16, an hour-long episode breaking it down. And a piece that I wrote for the Daily Beast that will be linked in the show notes for this episode, also giving more information on what's been going down. But as I said to that person who commented, you know, I'll do you hopefully one better, which is an Andy's Girls episode focused on this because I think it's important. And I think that the last even couple hours today have been so fucking bad that we feel like we don't have we don't have an option but to respond. And so there's no one that I would rather record this episode with than a frequent guest who's been on the podcast, who's so spectacular and who I highly encourage that everyone follow. Her Instagram bio, love of my life, if Dateline and SportsCenter had a Bravo baby.
Mm-hmm. Which would now be a forced birth, but okay. Depending on your state. I should really add that to the bio.
Wait, I shouldn't be crying, but it's too soon.
We have to laugh
we're
about
not
it. There's nothing else we can do.
5 minutes in. The chaos that's going to be this episode. Oh my God. Yeah. Welcome back to Andy's Girls. Never leave. Never leave. Bravo, bravo, ducking bravo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? It's just a wonderful week to be a Bravo fan. You know, you're stressed out about life and things going on. So you say, hey, let me kick up my feet and see what's going on in the easy breezy world of NBC Universal and the women that they pay to share their drama and lives with us. It's wonderful. Very relaxing.
You know, I put my therapist on pause a while ago because we had some spiritual significant differences of opinion that affected
separate podcast, but I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, it was a thing. So I have been doing my like therapy with my my poor sweet psychiatrist literally twice a week for a very long time. And she's away for 3 weeks. And she was like, you're gonna do great. She was like, you're going to do real great. And we both looked at each other and I was like, uh-huh. And she was like, uh-huh. And she said, this is going to be a great opportunity for you to use the skills that we have spent literal years working on. And you're going to do such a good job with your depression and your anxiety and everything else. And I was like, yeah, but you know what? Instagram isn't letting that magic play out. Or maybe it is. Maybe this is the time.
Maybe this was all a test for all of us. But I mean, it was very difficult. I even lost my cool. I put up some stories where I got a little bit mean. I try not to get super mean these days.
Oh, same. Definitely same.
But it's really, really tough to see the world like come crashing down on a 14-year-old. And people are just quiet for days. And I mean, in the internet time, an hour is like a day. Like he's getting flooded. So it was horrible, terrible. I can't imagine what Garcelle was feeling. I can't imagine what the family was feeling. Anyway, we'll get into it.
Well, I feel like let's give a little bit of an overview to people who are like, wow, it seems like something happened, mm-hmm. but I have decided not to use social media, and P.S., kudos to you. And so I would like a little bit of background on what has taken place. So let's do that. I'm going to try to give a little wiki version. Please interject.
I shall. I won't be able to help.
I am extremely certain, even though I did a heavily researched piece for the Daily Beast and an hour-long Patreon and a lot of stuff on social, that I don't even really know who I am at this point.
Same.
So let's try to figure this out. Okay. So guys, breaking news, Garcelle and Diana haven't been great for a minute. On the show, off the show, on social. And Diana put up some posts on Instagram that Garcelle responded to also online. Diana surmised that Garcelle was essentially a piece of shit and put up some posts, fascinating information, put up some, imaginations are great, put mm-hmm. up some posts essentially saying that Garcelle was not empathetic about a pregnancy loss that Diana has discussed on social media, and said that she was a fan favorite and could get away with anything. One caption of a post said, go on trolls, do your worst. Oh, wait, you already did. Another, life is a long time and I do play a long game. This is not the face of someone that will get pushed around ever. Game on, bitch.
Wow.
And some video of Garcelle and Sutton on the after show that was edited in a fun, creative way with the caption, it shows you who she is as a person.
There was also, she said something about people that are fans of Garcelle's are worrisome. And the person that she was responding to didn't say anything rude, like did not name call. There was not any clapback. It was really just like a kind statement saying like, hey, that's not true. We're disagreeing with whatever she was saying. So she's definitely, trying to do that whole gangster role online still, it seems.
Yeah, she's a real piece of shit, honestly. But anywho, so she's put up some really combative stuff. Garcelle responded and said, essentially, I sort of have no idea what you're talking about with me making fun of your pregnancy loss. What in fact was going on was jokes about the misspelling of my name.
Exactly. That's all that was.
And essentially, Garcelle said, everyone needs to calm down. And unfortunately, it was apparently opposite day in hell, because what ended up taking place was an enormous escalation online. The social media posts that had gone up, especially on Diana's account, were purposefully inflammatory. And then in a shocking turn of events, inflammatory comments started flooding in all at once on the then public Instagram account of Garcelle's 14-year-old son, Jax, who you guys might remember had already been, in his words, violated earlier this season when Erica, in her words, yelled at him. Mm-hmm. So
cursed him out.
So this 14-year-old child was flooded with comments that were inflammatory, racist, and derogatory. They were specifically named or meant for him, using your mother, tell your mom. Mm-hmm. And they kind of ran the gamut. Many referenced, using identical language, including grammatical errors, referenced, and guys, trigger warning, we're going to get into some racist stuff, addict shaming language. It's all pretty bad. So just keep that in mind. Referencing Garcelle's older son, Oliver, because this is a real situation where if you're going to try to shame and attack one son, why not loop in the other? So two of Garcelle's kids were attacked in this way, but saying to a 14-year-old child that your brother is and or was a drug addict, because the language sort of shifted according to the comments, so why doesn't your mom empathize with Erica? Saying that Garcelle was the reason that the reel canceled and her son should be, they should be nervous because BH might be canceled as well. A lot of comments, all of which supported Diana explicitly, I would say, as the
primary, absolutely.
Primary, but also many of which referenced Erica and Rinna. To a lesser extent, there were a couple that were in support of Crystal and Kyle, mm-hmm. and Dorit, but overwhelmingly it was about supporting and defending Diana and Erica and Rinna.
Yeah.
And they were very loaded and disgusting. And what was so fascinating was so many of them included identical language. Now, I am one of a couple content creators who were like, huh, mm-hmm. what's up? And started looking at the actual commenters themselves. So I was taking screen recordings as this was happening, or as we were finding out, and looking at the accounts and seeing that something was kind of fascinating, which was a conversation that was also, I think, in many ways, primarily led by Face Reality 16, who we're both friends with, mm-hmm. who had some more background on the bot of it all. But the realization that many of us had was that these accounts were actually not real.
Yeah, it's obvious. And that's the thing. That's the difference between like somebody who is really plugged in to social media all day long, the way we are, or just a casual user. A casual user probably has no idea. And a lot of my followers would message me and say, what is that? I didn't know what that was. Is that common? That happens a lot. And for us, we're so used to it. We know that a lot of Bravo celebrities buy followers, that there are places you can go to look up stats, mm-hmm. and see how many real people are part of something and how many people are quote unquote bots. And mm-hmm. what are bots, blah, blah, blah. Go to Face Reality 16's story. She probably has it in a highlight now. She did a great job of explaining that, but it's just a fake profile. It's just a fake profile that you can buy a bundle of them. You pay actual money for this, and you can do a couple different things. You can just have some followers. You can have people like things. And again, they're not people. They're just, it's essentially one person who is starting a ton of accounts for the sole purpose of doing what you've asked them to do. Make me look cooler. Make me look loved. Make this person look hated, whatever it is. And then they flood, and it's a program. So all these comments that were all similar, and all these profiles that had like either zero followers or five followers, and they're all following the same five, and like it's just somebody in a rush making as many accounts as they can, and they have the same type of images. Like for me, they were all white women when I would do my screenshots. Every single
all
one,
young, all young, attractive white women,
same type of photos. I started finding the source of some of the photos. They were like models, real people that whose photos had been taken and turned into fake profiles, and then saying very painful, horrible things to a child. So anytime I saw the who the real person was, I would tag the real person to show them that their images were being used this way. Mm. Instagram is not great about taking stuff like that down. But, you know, it is not supposed to be something that is allowed, but it's the ugly underside of Instagram.
And what was so interesting in Face Reality 16's coverage, which again we discussed in that Patreon episode that went up as this was coming out, was photos of bot farms. Now, mm-hmm. I thought it was like a technological robot thing. I didn't understand, and this is a much more expensive option, yeah. seemingly, that these are actually real people who have in front of them, it's like you're standing up and you tap, they have a bunch of screens in front of them. It is literally, I mean, the idea of a bot farm, quote unquote, it is literally a person mm-hmm. just doing tap, 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 yep. tap, which is why there are grammatical errors. It's why some of this stuff doesn't make sense. And it's like the language being used, the phrasing doesn't necessarily fit for the profile because these profiles look like these people are mini influencers. It's like these very seemingly highly produced, or at least produced, formulated profiles that have no engagement. Nobody's liking yeah. or commenting the posts for, you know, if this, you go to a profile, this person has 20 followers, but they have 6 posts. So it seems like it's someone, but they were all maybe posted at the same time, or there's mm-hmm. no engagement. It's because somebody somewhere is being paid, who knows how much they're actually making, but probably not a lot of money. Yeah. Somebody is mm-hmm. To put out the same information from a lot of different fake posts. But because the avatar looks a certain way, people might think it's a real person. And also what's so interesting is like when you are buying a bot campaign, bot attack, whatever it is that you want to do, you can choose the avatar according to the business that you're going
exactly.
into.
All so of like, it is tailored.
All of it is tailored. So if you're buying a bot and you're running it's like the fun of gender roles and dynamics, like you might want your fake person to look and be a different way, which might look more organic to outsiders that this is a real person. But the breaking news here is that it turns out it looks very likely that this wasn't an example of something that does exist in the Bravo community, toxic fans who have, in fact, talked disparagingly about housewife kids before. And I use kids in the most generous possible term. A 30-year-old child of a housewife is not, in fact, a child, mm-hmm. but it is the child of the adult on television.
Absolutely. And there's a difference, too, I want to say real quick, between an adult child who is mic'd up, getting a paycheck, and doing, right. you know, an on-camera confessional, and then a kid that you see running in the background or is at an event but is not part of the show. Is not part of the show, is not a cast member, is not an equal player.
Right. And so it looks like someone paid specifically to attack Jax, seemingly to get to his mom. Now, what was so interesting about so many of these comments.
And also, I want to say real quick, please. On Diana's birthday.
Yeah, what a gift. And again, I reference that in the. I was. Sharp in the Daily Beast,
like,
so you guys can
get, you know.
God. Yeah, it was, the timing is so interesting in so many ways, also because the after show, Bravo's after show, which you can watch on Bravo TV's YouTube channel, it's typically two parts, had Erica and Dorit criticizing Garcelle's referencing of Erica's drinking and saying, based on her experience with Oliver, shouldn't she have more empathy? Mm-hmm. Which to me is a super fucked way of thinking. I look at that and I think, you guys have just fucked with two of her kids on television yep. by heavily flirting and suggesting threesomes, using the phrasing baby daddy, baby mom, baby, all of this fucking loaded language with Oliver, and yelling at Jax and using expletives. You would think that Garcelle even talking about your drinking as a way of explaining some of your misbehavior is in fact a huge example of her empathy, but that's like for an emotional intelligence that unfortunately rises at a level far higher than what we're seeing in the Fox Force.
Yeah. And also I want to say real quick, this has been bothering me so much and other people have brought it up, but you know, Eileen was almost sacrificed at the table for mentioning Erica Sunt, for mentioning, for bringing up his existence. So it's shocking to me that she would be so eager to talk about someone else's adult son, Oliver.
And then and their also struggle with curse, addiction.
Yes. And also curse out a minor son who was just picking up flowers for his mother.
On her birthday, by the way.
Yeah, on her birthday. At her birthday party. At his mother's birthday party. So the levels, there. It's so disturbing any way that you look at it, but taken as a whole, it's really, really, really hard to not see a lot of this as she doesn't matter. Her kids don't matter. My kids matter. Don't talk about my kids.
Not only do her kids not matter and her voice and feelings don't matter, but her ability to still somehow think and reflect through an empathetic lens is questioned and, spoiler alert, my favorite word, weaponized by select members of the cast. And what was so interesting was the timing of all of this. Diana using loaded language in her captions, game on, trolls, yada, yada.
Do your worst.
Garcelle minimizing a lot of that, deflecting off of it because she's a fucking grown-ass adult. And saying everyone needs to calm down. You tell someone who doesn't have an interest in calming down to calm down. Watch what happens next. Yeah. And then we have the after show go up that uses a lot of weird, problematic non-explanations of select members of the Fox Force criticizing Garcelle's response. And you see that play out in the actual attacks against Jax, which do not appear to have come from actual human people. What we are watching take place is different even from attacks that have happened against Portia Umansky earlier, where real people were being real assholes.
And those were real people. And that's the thing.
Those are real people. A toxicity is heavily apparent in the Bravo community.
Yeah.
But there's a difference here, which some people do not want to reference or acknowledge, including the network at this point, publicly, which is that this is not what happened to Portia. This is not people criticizing Erica's adult son in comments to her directly and not him.
Mm-hmm.
This is not people being assholes to Rinna's kids on social as they have been, all of which it's not okay. But this was someone making buying seemingly a calculated bot campaign specifically to hurt and upset a 14-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
Why they did that, we don't know, but there is a fan theory that I hypothesized, discussed, unpacked in that Daily Beast piece, which is that because Garcelle has not bent toward the will of the Fox Force, because she has refused to disavow her friendship with Sutton, because she is not allowing their lobbed hits to make impact, somebody, not necessarily somebody in the cast, but someone who seemingly really wanted to support specifically three members of it, decided to upset her son because while she wasn't allowing them to impact her, they knew the absolute most, and by they I mean whomever, knew the absolute most delicate, vulnerable spot, which for Garcelle was being a parent. So they dragged Oliver by talking about his past experiences with drug addiction. This is a person in recovery. And maligning him, which, P.S., if I was Rinna, who whose sister struggled. I would have some thoughts on that. But regardless, someone who has apparently very ugly thoughts about drug addiction, the innocence of a child, and decided to use a 14-year-old who'd already been traumatized on camera. I laugh because this is absolutely psychotic. It's psychotic.
It is. And that's what bothers me so much about it is that, you know, the viewers are the ones who were yelling the most about this. They were the most outraged. The people who watch these shows and care about the cast members and what happens and storylines, they were all tagging Bravo TV. They were all tagging anyone, all of the cast members saying, please speak out. You've got to stop this. And it is a disgusting and ugly reflection of what we have seen all season and last season. And there's no one that's part of that clique that is not culpable. I mean, when Erica cursed out Jax, Dorit turned to her and said, you're fine. It's okay. She completely excused it and moved on. And it was Dorit and Kyle sitting with their husbands joking about it. Well, it's not my child. I'll never forget that. They laughed at it. They thought it was great. You know, Mauricio said, I thought it was great she did that. What are we talking about? Like, you want to be liked, right? You want to sell houses? That's your whole angle? You want to feature properties that you're trying to move product on the ultimate girls trips, and it's all about, you know, keeping money in your pockets. You're the family man. You're the best mom. You're always hugging your kids and stuff, and you guys are going to be laughing about that and say, well, it's not my kid. Get the hell out of here. I'm not watching this. I'm not supporting you. Like, it's really, really difficult to even stomach Beverly Hills because of the Girardi, you know, complete scandal and taking advantage of so many victims. And then all of this on top of it. And I wonder, like, is somebody just trying to make the show explode? Are they just showing us the worst sides of these people? I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense to me that they would be so unlikable and so horrible on purpose and think that it's funny.
Repeatedly. It's like the repeated gaslighting and manipulation to deflect on their own instances of poor behavior that have led to this. It shows how bad this has gotten, and it feels almost inevitable when we look at how horribly a few of the cast members have even addressed or not what happened to Jax through the circumstances of the ways that they encapsulate their own shitty behavior and what happened to Jax on the after show, on the show itself, on social previously. It all feels so connected and disgusting and disturbing, but also consistent, which is what is so fucked up. And I think it's really shitty that none of them, to my knowledge, Rinna blocked me. I've been blocked. I never tagged her.
She's such a, like, whatever, Rinna.
She is what she, I mean, her lips are made for talking, and they're except always about bad things.
Real shit or herself, but okay.
Yeah, amen. So I don't know exactly what she's doing minute by minute, but I have been looking at Diana and Rinna's social media as well as everyone else. And what's so interesting is when you think about the ways that these comments were done seemingly to support and defend their behavior and upset a child by saying the child's mom's behavior is wrong. When you look at the way that all of these comments, which you can see in that piece, you can see online, there's screenshots fucking everywhere all over the world. Mm-hmm. But when you think about the ways that Diana and Erica and Rinna really explicitly, it's really those three. Dorit, you can see a couple times, Kyle a couple times, Crystal even less. But when you see those names reflected so much and see the way that a child is in pain, Garcelle posting about going to sleep at night crying, the child itself saying, I'm a kid, like, this is too much, please stop. And you think about the ways that these housewives refuse to process or even express upset about their names being used to violate a 14-year-old. And the fact that that really hasn't been said, really, especially by Erica and Diana, who've in fact taken a different attack, I would say, or a different strategy on social. The first thing that I would do if I was in their position, God forbid, would be to take to social media and say, stop. You don't do this in my
not
name.
In my
don't
name.
Do this.
Not
don't
around
do
here.
This in anyone's name, but this is not okay. Yeah. I don't want people saying they are supporting me while they're attacking a child. Not only did that not happen, but as other members of the cast started to respond, Sutton spoke out against it in comments and posts and on stories. This is before the network's response. Sutton posted, spoke out against it. Kyle did. Crystal did. Dorit did. Kathy did. Everyone in the Sheree, I don't remember that she did until after the
network's
response. Oh, no. Sheree
response. Made sure to say happy birthday to Diana and tell
Sheree,
her she was great. So that's cool of
Sheree. Sheree did definitely post on Diana in a happy birthday comment, as well as sharing a story on her page. So, wow, is what a friend. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. The bell is ringing. She's at my door. She has some thoughts.
She's probably stopping by.
I think it's fascinating the way that one can look at the silence that Diana and Erica both had. It's absolutely Amazon Prime, absolutely delivering batteries that I desperately could use for this recording. But, you know, as you look at the ways that members of the cast started to rally through comments and posts. Did I mention Brynna also posted? I want to say that she did as well. Yeah. It was essentially everyone but Erica and Diana who remained quiet, which was what was so upsetting, I think, to so many people. It's, to me, the exact opposite of a person's instinctive reaction as a human being, as a mother, as a cast member and colleague. This is a work crisis. And from a health and safety issue, not only did they not speak out, but they stayed silent. Erica allowed people to continue to drag her in comments and posts. I don't think she deleted anything. Diana, whose birthday it was reposting birthday greetings from people and deleting comments on her posts asking why she wasn't talking about Jax. And then Jax started to post about death threats that he received. Now, was the one account in particular that was highlighted, was that a bot or
it was a bot.
A real? Okay. Was it a bot or a real person who had been inflamed by seeing these bots? You're saying it was a bot?
I thought so when I went and looked. But I mean, I could be wrong, because some of the thing about it is you can pay more money to have more sophisticated looking accounts, but they're still really low. Like they'll have, you know, 100 or ish followers and following, it still doesn't mean it's a real person. And so some of them started to be private accounts. And so there's only so much we can see. I'm going to tell myself that some of these were also bots, because I just can't see an actual person account going on and saying that after knowing what's happening, that there's a campaign, a concentrated paid for campaign against a minor, and then jumping on and saying things like that.
So while Diana and Erica are remaining absolutely silent, including after Jax posts this, an account posted on his profile, which I verified as you did, as many did, you'd have your neck kneeled on it if it weren't for your white daddy. Tell your mom to leave Diana alone or you'll deal with us. Mm-hmm. That is a literal death threat, racist as fuck, that was made against the 14-year-old child of a cast member that did not necessitate, seemingly, in Diana or Erica's eyes, a response. You would think that Erica, who's referenced so many times that her son is a police officer,
she doesn't give a shit about anyone but herself.
You would think she would have some thoughts about law and order when it comes to death threats, which I would think are maybe not great.
No.
Especially when they're made in specifically Diana's name. But at this point, Diana, as a representation of this fucking dream team from absolute hell that is referenced so heavily in these comments. someone used Diana's name with a literal death threat that was racist against a 14-year-old child, and Diana continues to repost stories knowing that this is happening.
Yeah, and here's a key part of it too. She was aware of all of it, and we know she was aware of it because different accounts, Real Housemates of New York caught it, so did the Bravo Bottoms, that she was watching, she was viewing their stories.
She was looking at their stories.
So she had seen the criticism, she had seen the concern, she had seen the outrage that this was happening and that people were doing it, bots rather, were doing it for her and her friends, and against, you know, a child, and still said nothing, still quote unquote celebrated her birthday, even though we knew that she was seeing all of it and watching, and it takes 5 seconds to be like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I can't, I'm so sorry this is happening. I have nothing to do with this. Like anything that a normal person would do, especially a person whose storyline this year is based on nobody is empathetic to me enough. Based on picking people apart, saying, Sutton, I didn't like the way you tried to connect with me. Garcelle, I don't think you're nice enough to me. Whatever it is, you can demand things, but it's a two-way street. So who are you as a person?
Yeah, it's a weird thing when you think about the ways that Garcelle's pain, seemingly, honestly, I hate to say it, but like even Jax's pain, especially Jax's pain, are not viewed as important or important enough. I think that's what's so troubling, is like you're finding out that a 14-year-old is getting racist death threats made in your honor, and Erica is promoting music that's coming out, which I said in my piece is another kind of threat.
It really is.
I'm an asshole.
It really is.
But the fact that you're finding out about this and you're not saying something. And we know the ways that she has exploded when even her son's name or job has been mentioned before. And then, if you're really looking at this stuff, finding out that, oh my God, in brand new information they had no idea about, this wasn't even real people. These were bots. So someone, it's like bad enough when you think of how awful real people can be and an absolute selective lack of self-control when you're trying to inflict pain on these housewives or their family members or whomever else. Mm-hmm. It is quite another to consider this what it was, which was an orchestrated attack.
Absolutely.
It was an orchestrated attack. These weren't real people being mean. This was somebody who thought of this and planned it out.
There were talking points. There were structured things, you know, to communicate. And then whoever's running the bot farm is slightly changing things and make it a little bit different every time. So it's not the exact same thing said 1,000 times. And it's very different from the typical day in the Bravosphere where, you know, 1,000 people watch a show and maybe one or two are very caught up in it. It's a weird time to be alive. They get angry and they say something horrible online. It's different than that. It's not 1 out of 1,000. We're talking about thousands all saying the same stuff to one person who happened to be a child. So the fact that it was so obvious that it's all bots for anyone who uses social media to go in and check and see that these accounts are not real people, and yet to have Bravo and everybody else pretending like, hey, guess what, viewers and social followers, we don't like that you're doing this. It's neither. So we can move on from that if we're not going to play these games like we don't really know what's happening. It's neither of those. In fact, those two parties came to you and let you know that this was a problem. So yeah, that's going to probably bother me forever. But
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French Bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code Andy's Girls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
Yeah, there's a way that you could talk about what happened as an attack, and that's not the choice that the network made. The piece that I wrote for the Daily Beast was published, and a couple hours later, I want to say the network put out their official response. Which is, we are shocked and appalled at the social comments directed at Garcelle's son. We urge our viewers and social followers alike to refrain from targeting our cast and their families with harmful rhetoric.
Okay. People were tagging them. I was tagging them, and I try to tag them sparingly. You know,
who's them?
Bravo TV and NBC and Universal. Only when something is happening that I think is like threatening the existence of these shows and the continuation of people who watch them, I will like raise the flag and start to tag. So people were begging them to say something for a solid 24 to 36 hours before they did, maybe longer. It's all a blur. So the fact that they said something, it's always a weird situation because you're just happy that they are doing something. Mm-hmm. And then it so often is, I don't know who's calling the shots over there. I don't know who's in charge of comms over there. But it's usually off base. So
it's also like way after the fact. And I'm sure there were a lot of moving pieces behind the scenes, but it's something that a lot of outlets have called out, which is a real heavy pattern here of the network not responding in a way that other networks have. It's very strange, for example, that at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement, when there were attacks against cast members, like Nickelodeon was like a week prior in responding and putting out a release than Bravo was.
They got some work to do over there. They really got some work to do over there.
But there's almost a hurry up and wait kind of sensibility of like, I don't know if they're waiting for this to die down a little bit because that was not successful, but it just feels like they're not on the mark, and you should be recognizing at a certain point that you have casts that feature all Black participants. You have casts that are overwhelmingly white that feature cast members who are people of color. If you are putting these people on TV and including plot lines that feature racist and uncomfortable ideology and behavior, and you're not prepared to respond to that, even in, when it comes to like episode plot, mm-hmm. but you've edited the episode, you know that it's coming, to not know how to respond in a timely manner when you seem to be able to put out the episodes on time is weird. It's like,
it's so weird.
It's honestly strange, and it's way behind how other networks have responded, which is odd.
Yeah, I agree. And part of it too is so frustrating. It's as if someone explained or tried to explain the issue to a person in charge who maybe doesn't use social media a lot. And they said like, oh, what? Viewers are saying mean things to, okay, well then tell the viewers to stop. Well, no, it's not the viewers. You see, there's this thing called bots, and how social media works is, and how Instagram works is, and people get paid, and it's actually like a stream of income, and it's quite common, and blah, blah. And none of that mattered. It was just like, okay, well then tell the viewers to stop being mean to Garcelle's son. Like, it didn't do anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. Like, the issue is there's a strategy behind this at play. And the actual origin of all of this to me is that the show has gone so downhill as far as what is acceptable as a storyline. Like, that they made a choice to show us that moment. I think we talked about this. They made a choice to put that in the show and show us a 14-year-old getting cursed out. They make these choices to show us all of this and to have Dorit saying on camera that was no big deal, and to have them belittling everything, and this all spins into what we're in now. Like, these are all just building blocks.
Yeah, I mean, it feels inevitable, and it also is such an odd look because it continues a narrative that even Rinna did, and let's give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she meant this as a way to say, don't come after our kids, but you're marginalizing and sort of gaslighting the issue when you say this is what happened to Jax is like what happened with Erica's 30-year-old police officer son.
You know, that grouping them together shit is just really bothers me so much.
It feels like a way to minimize the absolute reality of what happened to Jax and its harm on Jax, Oliver, Garcelle, and the rest of their family, let alone, P.S., to viewers and fans who are watching this play out, some of whom may have realized that it was a bot attack and are seeing their own community be blamed. We can be blamed for literally so much that to be blamed for this is so fucking wild. And why couldn't you just use the language attack? We urge our viewers and social followers, we urge people to refrain from fucking targeting our cast. Why are we making clear that something happened? Because that then helps what the cast members are saying when they are absolving themselves with not actually including their own names, calling out a dialogue meant to defend them that attacked a 14-year-old child. Mm-hmm. It's like so much of this is deflection, not only from the strategy, the comms of it all in the actual attacks that were done explicitly defending Diana and Rinna and Erica, parroting off of defenses that the cast themselves have hypothesized on the after show and online. You're not addressing that, said members of the cast. And now we're pretending that this is something that has happened so many times before. It literally, to my knowledge, has not.
No.
And then Diana responds before the network responds, but after the Daily Beast went up, and draws back attention to an fucking Live Journal themed post that she had put up on HuffPo, a fucking blog about a cause that she cares about and about what evil looks like according to her work as an activist and thoughts on Bosnia.
Self-labeled activist. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting to me that her beef with Sutton this season has been that Sutton tried to relate to her by bringing up something that she had dealt with. And so when something horrifying and unprecedented happens to Garcelle's son, what does she do? She brings up something about herself. So,
and her experience, and her or experience. Other people's experiences, yeah. And how she has supported so those other people.
It was like tone deaf, wrapped in a humble brag. And it was also, to me, a nothing burger because it's from 2011, a blog post that she made. Like, what are we talking about? You know, either like make a statement that's about Garcelle and about what has happened, or don't say anything, because this shoving this shit down our throat every day about you have so much money and you could never do anything, you know, offensive because you have helped charities in the past or you've spoken out about issues in the past, that means nothing. There are people who speak out on issues and cut checks to charity every day that are horrible human beings.
Like, including Erica, yes. Who on her book tour talked about the millions of dollars that she and Tom had given to charity without maybe people in the audience, oh my God, that's so great, not knowing that those funds were stolen. So I don't really give a shit at this point how much money you've given to charity before, which
same.
Diana has used on social media in order to try to insult Garcelle. It's like at a certain point, how are you treating this person? The connective thread here is the thing that Garcelle herself has said on recent episodes, which is not only am I not going to disavow my friendship with Sutton, but I'm looking at how you are treating her. Why would I want to be your friend? This is the absolute personification of that to such a high, shocking, shitty degree that it's almost incalculable when you think of the ways that this is going to be used as a potential precedent.
Yeah.
And that is so disturbing. And it's also such an LOL when you think of how deeply unpopular Diana is. The idea that this happened from a cohort of super fans.
So many of her fans. They just
of Diana Jenkins, a woman who, as I mentioned in the Daily Beast piece, whose Q rating should be measured with a stethoscope. She is so deeply unpopular. So if we're going to play into the idea that these were people who love Diana as others love Teresa or Lisa Vanderpump or Bethany or the majority of the cast in Atlanta, like absolute superstars in the Bravo universe who do have stands who can mm-hmm. be highly toxic in defending their queens. We're pretending Diana has that.
No
Diana,
way.
Diana, whose very relationship has been questioned because it's so weird to sometimes see them interact. And we're pretending that she has hundreds and hundreds of super fans obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all Diana. Flooded, they all flooded a 14-year-old's page, and then they went and they listened.
At the same time, there a meeting
on her birthday
at Diana Stan Universe on her birthday?
Absolutely.
Someone gave her a fucking gift. I don't know if it's someone that she knows. I don't know who's attached to that like black Amex, but I do know that these people don't exist. She may well have fans, but the idea that there was a Zoom collective of 20-something blonde white women
yeah.
with varying abilities to communicate effective grammar, meeting up and putting in their Zoom, in their Google Cals, talking on this Zoom about when they're all going to get together and say the same loaded, racist, violent, explicit, dangerous, shocking, maddening, upsetting, abusive information to a 14-year-old child at the same time in her name. She's not going to call it out. Maybe they forgot to, like, I don't know, was there like a prayer altar at this meeting that happened over Zoom? Like, did they all just like take a moment to self-reflect? Is this meditation from hell of like, wait, let's all just think for 10 minutes and maybe if we all think similar thoughts, it'll all just occur to us and we'll end the Zoom and then we'll get online and make this child feel like shit.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they played one of Asher's songs backwards and then they all... They all said, oh, and it's her birthday.
It's so weird it happened on her birthday and included language that the cast members themselves have surmised on the after show and was incredibly uncreative in how they communicated those. It was very explicit for a woman who herself has quite a history of being clumsy with her words. It's fascinating that these people did too.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's fascinating that these people did too.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It is random capitalizations. Yeah. For a woman who is such a piece of shit. So, listen, she says a lot of stuff. She posts that HuffPo, her caption talking about how great she is as a mother and a person doesn't at any point reference Garcelle or Jax by name.
Nope.
But I guess she had forgotten
who
they were at this point because it was all about her. It was also her birthday. You know, maybe... You know, she did get her wish. So the network responds. And then some people have some thoughts on Erica's page, including a commenter who posed a question that Erica responded to last night.
Now, this was, by the way, this was on everybody in the Beverly Hills cast, some much sooner than others, all reposted the Bravo statement. And so this was, I believe, in the comments of the Bravo post is where that took place.
And I just have to say that Erica actually didn't share this post to her main initially. She shared it to her stories. She was the only one in the cast to do that. Everyone else, including Diana, shared it to main. Erica shared it to her fucking stories, giving it the same kind of level of interest that she did her own music coming soon. Mm-hmm. She didn't share it to Grid until the next day, but thank God she did because it gave us this fabulous moment, which was a commenter saying, I didn't see Bravo making every post about leaving kids alone when the woke mob was coming after your son for being law enforcement in 2020. And her response, Erica's response, exactly.
Exactly.
Thoughts?
She's a piece of shit. She doesn't care about anybody but herself. We know this about her. This is a woman, again, we've talked about this, who held on to those diamond earrings knowing that they were purchased. People tried to convince her, show her receipts. Like, I'm sure in court, all this was
shared. She said it didn't matter. She said in her legal arguments, it didn't matter if it was used with stolen funds.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't give a shit about literally anyone.
No.
And I would wonder, by the way, if I was her fucking 30-year-old son working in law enforcement, I have no idea who he is because, again, no one attacked his social. I don't think most people, including myself, even know his name nor care. But her referencing him repeatedly to minimize against the attack of a 14-year-old child and doing so essentially mocking the very posting that she had shared with Bravo's response. While there are blind items on Bravo and Cocktails, that says that not all members of the cast agreed with the network's response and wanted to share it, which I shared on my social as well, along with Erica's reply to that response.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious that she did not want to add that to her post. And I know they're doing the reunion soon and all of that. And so... I hope that it's talked about in a thorough way. This really is going to fall on Andy to address it properly. We'll see.
How do you fucking address this shit when members of the cast aren't even saying to their fake fans who don't exist because these were bots, these women all do have fans, but this attack was leveraged by a bot farm. Yeah. How do you have these people on the couch pretending that the shit that's happening on the show matters, noting that it absolutely does because those arguments were communicated by whomever bought the bot attack? How do you have a reunion right now when we don't know, when we know how these women feel about what happened to Jax? Because they're telling us by minimizing his experience, by not even referencing Jax and Garcelle by name, by pretending that an orchestrated bot campaign, including leveraged racist death threats, are the same thing of someone posting on Erica's page saying, like, I hate cops. Uh-huh. That's not the same thing. And I feel like a fucking piece of shit, exhausted, having to communicate that on every possible forum that I have available. How many times can we say it? I feel like I'm being gaslit as a person who has communicated the information that would go against the very communication the network put out.
Absolutely. I mean, their post was 50% gaslight. And so anybody who reads that post 3 months from now and wasn't paying attention, was on vacation this week, they'll be like, the viewers and the fans all attacked Jax. That's terrible.
Well, it's spreading misinformation.
That's not what happened.
So people, including real people, including followers on my page, asking me genuinely, I'm asking myself, what happened? Can you share a highlight of what happened? This is confusing. Leah McSweeney taking to her Instagram stories, condemning toxic fandoms.
The fans didn't do it.
But the fans didn't do it. And then people making fun of people sharing evidence that this wasn't done by human individual fans and saying, you're woke. This is a part of a woke army. You're too sensitive. This is like, it's like the epitome of fake news being expressed from within and outside of the Bravo universe. And it's frustrating because this hasn't happened before. But now I guess we get the first of what are going to be probably many experiences to come. This was our practice run using the vessel of a 14-year-old black child.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they really shit the bed to me with the post. And so that's why I say it's going to be up to Andy. And when I mean up to Andy, I mean like to redeem Bravo, to redeem Bravo, not to really like connect with these women, because we have to accept, if anybody has ever had any doubt, I've come to like the acceptance phase of what some of these cast members
the stages
are.
Of grief.
I really have. Yeah. Like I went through anger. I went through like, I didn't like who I was becoming because I was reading all these court documents and whatever. I had to like pull back from that. There's no redeeming quality here for many of them. And this clique has to be busted up. People look at older women with money and they think, oh, they must have it together. No, they don't necessarily have it together. They're not better than you and me. They're not special. They're not people you want to be around. And it's entertaining to watch on a show until it's not. And then you start to talk about harm and repercussions. And what we see happening to Garcelle's son is one thing. But then the shit that people take inside their minds after watching all of it and seeing what they get away with and that no one cared and they walk out into the world with that. It's all so toxic. And I hope people at Bravo give a shit. I just don't know if they do. I just don't know.
How on earth do you have a reunion right now when we don't even know who orchestrated this attack? How on fucking earth do you have a reunion where these cast members are going to potentially try to defend what they have been saying on the show and after show, which was used as the framework of a bot campaign?
See, now you're talking to the wrong person here, because I'm a non, and I'm a non for a reason, because I have such like love for my family. If it was just me, if I was just a single gal, I'd no problem. I share everything. We've talked about this too. Like I'd share everything about my life. I got no problem with that. It's for my loved ones. It's like the reason Batman, you know, wears, he's like, the mask isn't for you, it's for your loved ones or whatever. That's what it is. It's like, the fact that Garcelle is going to have to go into a room.
Can you fucking.
With people that she is somewhere in her mind knows either knew about it, had something to do with it,
And definitely benefited from it.
And even if those first two aren't true, they didn't give a shit when it happened.
They did not give a shit. They didn't try to stop it. Yeah. He was getting death threats and they knew that this was happening. Happening? What literally it was happening. Even a thing? It was happening. And not, they didn't do anything about it. And by they, I mean specifically Diana and Erica, yeah. Because everybody else was saying at least something, at the very least saying this is too much. Even if, like, the impact of Rinna listing the things that happening, her intent, I think, was to say that other children have been harmed. And at the end of the day, it's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. She's right.
Yeah.
It's just that this is different because it hasn't been done in the same way before. But what the fuck?
If you asked me to go, if I had to be Garcelle for a day and you asked me, like, your son has just been targeted, your 14-year-old, who already was going through it because of what happened on this show that you right. signed up for, and they're just sweet kids who are there for your birthday. How dare they be there, right? And then your older son, with everything that he has gone through, and he's at a great place, and, you know, you got your grandson on the show and all this, and you're sharing your life. You're sharing your life in ways that these other women have not. Like, we don't see a lot of personal life of Erica's, not that there is much there. We don't see a lot of personal life of Rinna's, not that there is much there. So for Garcelle to walk into a room, I couldn't do it. I'm telling you, I couldn't do it. I could not sit in a room with these women and not lose my shit. I'd be like, I think I'm done. Well, that's, it's a characteristic I do not have, to sit next to people and we all know the truth and we're going to sit here and pretend like you all didn't just come for my family, know about it, not give a shit, and pretend like what just happened to my child was the same as these other issues we're talking about that are in no way a correlation.
But we're going to talk about how Garcelle is guarded and doesn't come from a place of love.
But please pick me apart. Doesn't...
Yeah, I mean, what doesn't come from a place of love to me is to not immediately speak out. But I don't know. Erica got a lot of shit after responding to that exactly to that comment. She posted on her, we're recording this as I said, very, very early Friday morning, spiritually, also known as Friday afternoon. She posted and said, I want everyone to know this when I apologize. And this is on her stories. When I apologized to Garcelle for yelling at Jax, I also told her I would apologize to him in person. But that did not make the edit. All the women saw me say this. Very similar to Diana's very fucking odd defense of poor behavior by saying, but I did something. You just didn't see it. Thoughts?
I mean, she's scrambling. I think she got horrible backlash. She normally doesn't care. So I think someone at Bravo prodded her because she has never cared before when the world is tearing her apart and saying that was horrible. I cannot believe you would say or do this. She has never, never, never cared. So I think this is coming from a place of trying to keep her employment.
Also, why does it matter that she
doesn't? Doesn't it's moot. And what are we talking about?
What matters is that he was harmed by her behavior, which she continues to minimize on the episodes and then on social.
Yeah,
she's literally further traumatizing this child by minimizing his experience and pretending it's like anything else and equating a 14-year-old child with her 30-year-old grown ass adult son who wasn't attacked on social media. People maybe attacked his job on her social media, which I think a lot of people have very strong feelings about.
They have legitimate gripes against the Los Angeles Police Department. Like, that's going to happen. Okay. He's an adult. He's living his dream. He always wanted to be an officer. Wonderful. Thank you to all that the good officers out there do. But he's not a 14-year-old kid who was just getting flowers for his mom on her birthday and living his life and experiencing his first week of high school, and out of nowhere gets a flood of bots targeting him specifically, not his mother, not his older brother, a 14-year-old.
I actually don't totally understand what she's trying to say, that she made it okay, which makes it okay. That's kind of what I'm getting here, is that, well, she tried to apologize to him, but the edit didn't show that, so everything else is fine. It's like this...
We're good. I'm good with Jax. I said, I'll apologize to his face. I took it a little too far. I maybe had 5 drinks when I should have had no drinks. Bring him over here. Bring him over here in front of me. I'll say I'm sorry right now. I'll say it to his face.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. Let me bring my 14-year-old kid in front of you so you can, whatever. No.
You know, I would think that if I had offended or upset a child, the first thing I would do is try to protect them.
Absolutely.
And it's the lack of protection felt most egregiously by Erica and Diana Silence while they're continuing to post on social media. That also loops back into the thinking that a lot of people have of why did this happen to begin with? Obviously to upset Garcelle, disregarding the thoughts and feelings and impact of how it would feel to be that child seeing those comments, specifically to get to Garcelle and to no longer maybe have Garcelle on the show. If that's the only way to maintain a majority through the eyes of this random fucking person somewhere who decided to organize this bot attack.
Yeah, they said, I'm going to break Garcelle today. That's what they said to themselves. And they did it on Diana's birthday. And maybe they know or maybe they don't. Hopefully we find out.
Hopefully we find out. And how do you have a reunion without having that knowledge?
I'm saying I couldn't do it. I don't know how she's going to do it. I don't know how Garcelle is going to go into that room and have those bullshit conversations again, attacking her. You didn't say thank you enough for the pasta sauce. You didn't da 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 da. Whatever it is. So stupid by comparison to what has just happened to her and her family. What we've seen build up over the last two seasons and culminate in her child being targeted by a coordinated campaign, you know, for 2 days.
I think it would be a wild choice. I don't know the budget involved, the cost involved in this. I think it would be a horrifying choice to proceed with a reunion if it's held next week, which is what I heard. Did you hear when this was?
I heard something similar that it was very soon. It was happening within
very,
the next
yeah,
like,
that
week
it's happening.
So.
I think yeah. In, yeah, I think it's happening in the next 2 weeks. I think it would be a wild choice to sit the cast down when they're obviously telling us through their behavior on social media to varying degrees that they don't necessarily give a shit about what happened or that they don't understand what took place, which is maybe worse.
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful for someone to explain to the members of the cast, regardless of how you communicate it to the audience, which is a different issue. Someone should be calling up Diana and maybe there's a reason why that maybe hasn't happened, honestly.
She's done. She's not coming back. Who cares? I wouldn't call her. Fine.
But aside from not coming back, aside from the future of the show, to say that even if you don't want to have the conversation about the bots, which I think would be psychotic, to say that this was done in your name, like, do you understand that all of the comments were supportive of you? Do you understand that? I don't know that Erica gets it, which I'm saying with a lot of like, do I believe that?
I think she gets it. I think she's very smart. My personal opinion, which I'm allowed to have, is that she lacks empathy. She is not a person.
That's the nicest thing you can say about her.
I think so.
She lacks
empathy. I think so. I think I'm going places. I think I'm working on myself.
Love to see it.
Yeah. And it's very, very difficult to imagine how that reunion is going to go without being heartbreaking to anyone paying attention as we have been for so long.
Which to me doesn't, I'm not saying the reunion shouldn't take place. It absolutely should, especially because we are in a spectacular circumstance when it comes to like the things that the cast has said about Crystal's ED experience. Like I think it's incredibly important that we hear Garcelle's voice, we hear Crystal's voice, we hear Sutton's voice. I think it's important that we have reunions. We can't get into a cycle where there are really horrible environments.
No,
and
I agree.
As a result,
yeah.
The members of the cast, especially second time members of the cast who are uniformly women of color, Sutton is not. But when it comes to this specific circumstance with Crystal and Garcelle, I don't want us to get into a pattern where like we're arguing in favor for them not being able to share their perspective, because I think looking back, it was a real unfortunate occurrence at the New York reunion, that the New York reunion didn't take place. But that being said, from like a liability perspective, I am hoping that the network is looking into what actually happened.
God, I hope so. I feel like they're just Mr. Magoo over there. Like, I don't even know if they understand social media. I don't get it.
To use everyone, including Erica's favorite word, it would be an extreme liability to continue filming with people and having, if someone on that couch knew what happened or was involved, the liability from that for coordinating this attack, regardless of what specific death threats were a part of it, even though that is in fact very important to find out, you need to know that. You need to know that to protect not only Garcelle and her family, but also future cast members.
Absolutely. This can't be a new thing. This can't be something that happens and we're just all supposed to be like, oh no, it's okay. It's just a coordinated death threat campaign. It happens sometimes.
And we're not being communicated that an investigation is taking place, but my hope is that one is, and my hope is that if there is an investigation looking into this, that that delays the reunion, because we're talking about, you can't help but see who is being defended here and the connection between how these things are playing out, even in how the cast members talk about to and at each other on social, and seeing how similar that language is. I mean, my goodness. And we have no idea at this point who is behind this. I mean, that's a very big question mark. I would hate to see Garcelle be put in an environment where she is supposed to potentially look away from this, or they address it in like an act or whatever, and then they move on. I don't think there's any moving on until we know who was behind this.
Agreed. I hope, and the thing is, this is not hard. This is not rocket science. I mean, Instagram, Zuckerberg, Meta, they can check this shit out. They can find out. They've got the resources and the ability to do so. I find it very difficult to believe that it would, that it's not something that somebody can click around and find the source for.
Yeah, and I would be curious to see what that person, whomever it is, what their relationship is to the show itself.
It could, like, yeah, true. It could just be an agent of chaos, a person with some money who wanted to see the world burn. Could be.
Right. And I also say that, like, I also have to say that, speaking of agents of chaos, be very careful in disseminating when you watch the ways that cast members might try to change the story or add in other people's names, or when outsiders try to insert themselves into this and try to take responsibility or anything else, because there is a shift that can take place that can act as a distraction. And I think that, I know that all the AGs listening are all really smart, and I know that this circumstance and situation is very confusing, but like, use your own tools here. Don't engage when you see comments like the ones that Jax received. Don't engage with those accounts, because that can also inflame the situation in your well-meaning response being used as an example by someone saying, oh, look, and here's a toxic yada yada. Like, be very careful and judicious in how you are communicating, LOL, as I like fuck up the word, how you are communicating and disseminating and sharing information online. And I know that's really tough, and it's something that I'm constantly learning, but like, being judicious sometimes when someone is coming at you with information is really important.
Absolutely.
And also looking at the accounts and being aware of who you're following and how you're engaging with information. Because if I was just looking at Erica's account, for example, I might have or Diana's account, I might have a different perception of what took place, or unfortunately Bravo's account would have a different perception of what took place than if I was looking at content creator accounts right now that are sharing information, resources,
sites. We show our work. That's the difference. We show the work. If we're mad, we tell you why we're mad. If we think something is bullshit, we tell you why we think it's bullshit. And so you do have to be pretty careful. I'm sure there's stuff for you too. People send me things, they send me tea. I see all kinds of posts, and I have to be really careful about what I share and what I what I keep, because I ask myself, what am I really sharing by posting this? Does somebody have an agenda here? Like, if there's not a receipt, I don't post it. So I try to stick to that.
There might be a difference of opinion that some people have about what this means. You know, I'm seeing some people, you know, popular Bravo fans say that this is ridiculous and that we should just understand that people, fans are toxic and that's what this was, nothing more. Not and all. I would just encourage people to, if you agree with that sentiment, you agree with that sentiment. But I think a lot of people, based on research information, sources, tools at their disposal, that that's not what took place. And it's important to understand that. And I think it's important for the network, hopefully at some point, to communicate that. If they, for whatever reason, chose not to in the post itself, I hope that that is communicated on a broad scale. And I think an example of a broad scale would be the show. Mm-hmm. Because when the reunion takes place, I think it's very important to be specific in what happened. I think that viewers have the right to know. And I think that it should be discussed that this, as toxic and awful as aspects of the Bravo community and any community online can be, what happened was a targeted attack. And we need to discuss that. We need to discuss the impact of that on the show, the impact of that, the difficulty of watching members of the cast not address it. But I think that we need to really talk about that. And I think that there are a lot of eyes on Bravo right now, including my own, on how they're going to handle this next. And I hope they really do step up. I do. I really, really do.
I know. And I'm just prepared for it to be disappointing, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, the only upside to this is that it does shine a light on how important it is to disseminate information and use tools of protection, which can include the fucking truth. And I think that's really important. And I think that, you know, Face Reality 16, I just need to shout out again, we did a 1-hour Patreon episode unpacking and responding to the death threat aspect of this. And then our initial thoughts and feels, which included when Diana and Erica were staying quiet, some very passionate thoughts on the AG Patreon about that silence. Shouldn't be in a position where we feel like these women are being pushed to say that sending death threats to a child is bad. Yeah. But that is the world in which we live here over in BH. But I think it's really important, and why I'm really appreciative of you coming on today, and why I think your account is so important at Bravo Bravo Ducking Bravo, because I think that, you know, there is value in having these conversations. I just wish it didn't come at the expense of a 14-year-old child.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate it. I appreciate everything that you shared too this week. A lot of the, you know, Bravo accounts, I think Phila Diva, who's the account creator that Diana originally showed her ass with when she went onto her page and said it must be difficult, I believe, difficult or hard being a Black content creator.
Capital B.
Yeah. And so that, you know, she thanked a lot of accounts and was just talking about how everybody really just kind of flooded the mats and was so vocal about this and really got the word out and was sort of educating the casual viewer of what's happening, what's about, what's going on. And so I hope that most people watching the show understand what really happened, because I do not trust Bravo to tell it accurately. I hope that they do. But as someone said, it might have been you, they work hard to protect their cast members, and that's fine. But I think you can't rewrite history. So
you and I have had side conversations about their vested interest in protecting the franchise, which includes members of its cast. But that's a protection that shouldn't come at the expense of some of those members of the cast. And I think that this is new territory. But again, unfortunately, whoever did this set a terrible, terrible precedent. And I can't imagine being any housewife right now with a family, however that looks in their life, including children, thinking that they are going to feel protected sharing their child on screen in the future. I think this is a shocking and terrible reality that we are in. Because, again, while any toxicity against any child of a housewife is unacceptable, this was a 14-year-old whose handle includes his love of volleyball.
I know. How sweet was that? I can't. He's so cute. He's so young. He's just a kid. It's very sad.
as he himself said, I am just a child. And it's so sad that a 14-year-old has to remind people of that. And it's really upsetting to me that other members of the cast did not step up to say the same, which they didn't. Mm-hmm. It's very upsetting. And I think time is of the essence. I'm hopeful that the network does what's right in both sharing information and finding it out. And I think that the community, starting with Jax, Oliver, Garcelle's other child, her ex-husband, the rest of their family, her fans, I think that people have the right to know what happened, especially when currently folks are being led to believe that these were toxic fans. The right word there is toxic.
Yeah, really.
Unfortunately, there is a little bit of a ... and that conversation will continue. And, you know, this was a full episode talking about this, but I think that it was important too, because it needed to be discussed. Guys, if you want to read the Daily Beast article that I wrote talking more about this, you can find that link in my bio on Instagram at Dame Galley, but also in the show notes for this episode. You can listen to that Patreon with the Fantastic Face Reality 16 by going to patreon.com/AndysGirls, a 1-hour episode sharing our thoughts and feels. I got a lot of your thoughts, guys, about the situation, its impact on Garcelle, Jax, and BH. So I will be putting up a Satchel Spectacular discussing that. And Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo, where can people go to get more from you? Because you know I can't get enough. You know I cannot. Appreciate it.
Likewise, I am on the TikTok, which I'm obsessed with, but I don't post as often as I lurk. And I am also Instagram, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo. And I have a Twitter that I rarely use, Ducking Bravo.
Amazing. And, you know, just one little note on this before we wrap, guys. I know that we are all so passionate and everybody has a different perspective and it's okay to disagree with each other. It's great to be passionate, but let's be a little judicious about how we are directing our passion, most especially our anger online. That can be against a Bravo Leb, God forbid, a member of their family, and also with each other. At a certain point, sometimes it's helpful to understand that we all have the ability to disagree by nodding our heads. That does not need to include using abusive, derogatory, God forbid, racist or sexist language and behavior against each other. We are not housewives. Mm-hmm. The ways that they treat each other as their job is on the show is on them. Let us remember that we are outsiders to this, watching these shows. And I think that we do have a responsibility in how we speak to each other. And sometimes disengaging is in fact a very helpful tool for us to use. It's great to have conversations with each other. It's great to disagree, but you actually don't know who you're communicating with on the other side of the screen. It is a different experience. And while I'm so happy to be a part of the Bravo community and I love Andy's Girls and I love hearing from you guys, I have noticed, I myself have also participated in an environment in which the hot-headed reactions, because we love and care so much, eclipse the importance sometimes of just taking a step back. And it's something that everybody works on. We're all human beings at the end of the day. But a lot of this stuff, what we're talking about today with Jax, is so upsetting and so awful. But I don't want that to be used as an excuse to cross lines online. Because what does that do at the end of the day? That doesn't actually help this child who was harmed. And I think just moving forward, thinking to ourselves, how are we speaking to and at someone else's handle is important, because it's a TV show. It's an important TV show. It's a community and an environment and a conversation online. But we don't want to end up looking like these characters that we see. It's just true. It's not a great idea. And it's something that we all work on. And I just want to share that just as food for thought, especially with the week that we had off, even though I feel like I watched 16 episodes of Beverly Hills,
yeah,
all record bad.
I don't think I could have handled it. on Wednesday night.
I couldn't have handled it. And I think what would be important would be to end with Jax's own response to what took place, which Garcelle shared on her social media, which was this. "Well, I'd like to start off by saying that I'm still a kid and wish to not be viewed as a fully matured adult, because I am not one. It is currently my first week of high school, and instead of enjoying it like most kids at my school, I have to deal with being attacked on social media. I did not sign up for this show, nor do I have anything to do with the show's drama. I just want to be a normal kid. The purpose of my Instagram account is not for publicity nor the public's gaze, but to be seen by my peers as just another kid. I really wanted to avoid going private, but I just have to at this point. The constant support from everyone makes it much more tolerable. However, middle-aged women spamming me with racist and crude comments about my family is not what I expected for my first week of high school. Thank you for all the positive comments. It truly means a lot to me." And that is from Jax. And on that note, thank you to Bravo Bravo Ducking Bravo for joining, to you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.